Hello, good afternoon, and welcome, folks. This is the Zen Tech Radio Show, which is an alternating show with Booktown, and it happens on Mondays from 1 to 2 p.m. No, not Mondays.
Yeah. This is Monday.
We're off to a roaring start as usual. It's Glenn and Paul doing the Zen Tech Radio Show that's all about technology and wonderful things along those lines here on KVMR FM Nevada City. You can call us after the community calendar and whatnot at 265-9555 or 1-800-355-KVMR, which is 1-800-355-5867. We're also transmitting on Translator K286AN from Truckee, 105.1 FM in the Truckee Basin and Lake Tahoe. So your calls from up there are welcome too. You are part of our community, as indeed are the people out on the web at kvmr.org. Hi, Glenn.
Hi, Paul. How are you today?
Good. We've got different intro music because it followed on better from Haynes' show.
Yes.
And that was announcing an Earth Day concert, which is on Saturday, April the 22nd at Granite Bay. And people that are interested in Haynes' show can call 916-791-8415. So the intro music we had was a bit of better segue from that.
But sample still Brian Eno.
Yes. No, it's not Brian Eno at all. No, we'll play that a little bit later on.
Okay.
Later in the show, about 1:15 or 1:20, we will have Katie Golubic from Circle, the South Yuba River Citizens League, in the studio to talk about her computer questions and issues about machinery that the South Yuba River Citizens League owns and operates to enable their enterprise. Very similar to KVMR here, so there's a mixture of donated people and time and services. We'll hear from her a little later on.
Good. I've got the community calendar, and it is underwritten in part today by the Wooden Spoon Kitchenware Store, a toy store for cooks. The Wooden Spoon has served Nevada County for over 20 years. Their newly expanded store is in the Fowler Center at 12066 Nevada City Highway in Grass Valley. Their phone number is 530-272-8980.
First on the community calendar today, on Tuesday, tomorrow, live open mic night with hosts Albert Martinez and Steve Shepherd. On Wednesday, the fabulous Auditions featuring Marty Holland and friends. And on Thursday, Dakota Sid and the Badland Serenaders, Americana Folk. And Friday, Frame of Mind, Hot Funky Rhythm and Blues Jam Band. Saturday brings us Pola Del Mar and the Paranauts, Surf Rock for the New Millennium. For more information, check coopersnevadacity.com.
Local poets present an evening of readings of beat poetry this Friday, 7:30 p.m. at Jason's Studio Cafe in Booktown Books and Tomes in Grass Valley, in downtown Grass Valley.
The next film in the Social Forum film series, internationally speaking, shows at the Magic Theater this Tuesday evening at 7:35.
Cole Betiri, Sean Hayashi, and Ruby Freya present Wednesday evening, or appear Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. as part of the Songwriter Showcase at the Beat in Grass Valley, 274-2411.
Applications for the KVMR 2006 Broadcaster Training Class are now available online at www.kvmr.org or call the KVMR office at 530-265-9073. During regular business hours to have the application mailed to you. The class begins Monday, May 1st, and continues over the next three Mondays in May. Applications must be returned to KVMR by April the 7th, 2006, for consideration and review. Class space is limited and admission is not guaranteed. For information, call the office 530-265-9073 in business hours, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Seat of the Pants Productions presents a live video shoot with Remiley this Thursday at the Miners Foundry in Nevada City. Doors open at 6:30 with the show starting at 7:30. All proceeds will benefit the Miners Foundry. For additional information, 265-5040.
The Center for the Arts in Grass Valley presents Boston singer-songwriter Ellis Paul this Wednesday at 8 p.m. Information, please call 274-8384.
The rescheduled 6th Annual Not So Silent Auction, which benefits the Meals on Wheels program, will be held on Thursday evening from 5:30 to 8 at the Senior Center in Nevada County Fairgrounds. For information, 273-4961.
Friends of the Hospice of the Foothills are hosting the 16th Annual Arts and Flowers Show and Sale this Friday from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday from noon to 6 p.m. This is at the Minus Foundry in Nevada City. Over 40 area artists in a variety of mediums will be participating in this two-day benefit event. Additional information at 4323352.
Celebrate National Poetry Month with four open mic readings. The Nevada County Poetry Series puts on all open mic readings on Sunday, April 2, 9, 23, and 30th. Open mic begins at 12 noon each day. Submissions for possible publication in the NCPS 2006 anthology will be accepted at the readings. This will all happen at Booktown Books, 107 Bank Street, Grass Valley. For more information, 272-4655.
And KVMR's Community Calendar airs weekdays at 6:30 a.m., weekends at 7:30 a.m., and at 1 and 5:30 p.m. daily. To list your entertainment event or fundraiser on the community calendar, please send details at least 2 weeks in advance to psa@kvmr.org. The calendar is a public service of KVMR FM. And we'd like to thank for enabling in part the following hour of programming here on KVMR.org. That's OmSoft Technologies, providing Sacramento and the foothills with local internet solutions for home and office, including DSL, dial-up access, domain name registration, secure transaction services, and technical support. 530-758-0119 or OmSoft.com. OmSoft, the enlightened internet solution. And today is the day that the wireless is working in the studio in spite of all the electronic equipment, so we can look up some of our homework. And you had a bit of homework about, what was it, Picasa?
Picasa, the photo editing program that Google has put out. I don't like it. It's not real intuitive. And pretty much, I don't do that much photo editing, but I open a lot of photos. Mm-hmm. And when I open a photo, for example, I actually have Picasa not set as my default photo editor right now. But when I open a photo in there, it'll open up all 3,000 previous photos that were in a folder or something. And it doesn't work well, and I can't figure out how to make it not do that.
Have you tried updating it? It's not always obvious that an update's available, and we've been enthused in the past about Picasa from Google and also Google Earth and the desktop from Google. And when you run those nice applications, which are sort of killer applications, they don't always make it clear that there might be a newer version available. Have you actually got the newest one that's around?
You know, I haven't, and since I'm here with the high-speed internet connection, I'll go ahead and click for that. Hopefully it's under Tools or maybe under Help.
Some of these programs, particularly in Google Earth, it won't tell you there's an update unless you go up to Help menu and it says Check for Updates. I don't know if that exists in Picasa.
Yeah, it does, and it says this application is up to date. So apparently...
That's the breaks. You don't like it because it pops up multiple images when you...
Well, I don't want to go through it exactly right now, but as I said, maybe we can work on it and talk about it in a future show. But if anybody else has had any difficulties with this, basically, you know, if I want to open up just one picture and look at that, that's what I want to look at, not 3,000 other pictures that it manages to open up beforehand. And of course that takes time because it's you know, reading them, creating the thumbnails and everything.
Right, we're going to talk a little bit later about the issue that most people have got four or five different programs on their PC. We're talking PC here. Four or five different programs on their PC, each of them capable of doing something with photographs, and typically you'll get used to one thing and then some other darn thing will pop up. So we'll talk about that a little bit later, but you tend to use Picasa by default, and that's the one you try to stick to, right, Glenn?
Right. Well, I've switched back to Windows...
Oh, Picture and Fax Viewer, that
Picture
thing?
And Fax Viewer, because it just seems to be better. However, with that, let's say if I open up three pictures in a row, and one's named A, one is named Z, and one is named M, if I want to... scroll back and forth between those three pictures, then I get A, B, C, D, E, F before I get to M, and then...
You got to go through the list.
Yeah. So I'm just being complaining today.
Good for you. Quite right, too. But actually, Microsoft Picture and Fax Viewer is not a bad program, and it's lightweight, so it opens the pictures up quickly, which is a great benefit.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that in a little bit, but we have the great pleasure of a visit from Katie Golubic from the South Yuba River Citizens League on the web at circle.org or yubariver.org. And she's here to talk about the fact that, somewhat like KVMR, there's a bunch of equipment of varying ages in her office. And, why don't we let Katie speak for herself? Hi, Katie. How are you doing?
Hi, Paul. I'm doing well.
Good. So, rather like KVMR, you've got a bunch of equipment that people have donated and some new equipment and all sorts of different stuff. How many machines you got there?
We've got about 8 machines. Some of them are pretty old, kind of on their way out. So, we're looking to maybe get some newer machines in the office.
So, is it right to say that you would accept donations of useful machinery?
Yes, we would.
Now, this has come up at KVMR as well, which is people have good hearts, but they do tend on occasion to use KVMR as a dumping ground. So if you're not careful, that'll happen to you. What would be the age limit of stuff that people could donate to you?
I'd say 4 years or newer.
Okay. Does it matter if they work or not?
Yes.
It would be nice if they work. Right. A lot of people are concerned about donating equipment that might have private information on. So if people are going to donate to Circle, South Yuba River Citizens League, computer equipment, I would, if I were you, put back the original disk or do something to destroy the data on the disk, and the operating system can be reloaded. If you've still got the disks, that'd be even better, right?
Now, if somebody didn't have that knowledge of how to clear their disk or reload the operating system, I would assume, as is would be the case here at KVMR, if you were to donate such equipment, we have a staff that can do that, and we'd, you know, promise that we would clear away your own personal data. Do you have someone that can do that there, Katie?
No.
That's the second. That's the second issue. Okay, how do you find people to do this kind of work?
Well,
how about an APB, which is people that can help Circle with their computer stuff. They're now, on occasion, I do stuff, but I'm limited on time, and I do stuff by phone and so forth. And I think you've already got a couple of people. So those people who are already helping, don't worry, you're not being excluded by this.
Right, right. We have such a wonderful volunteer base. When we do have crises, there are a couple people that we can call, although I feel kind of bad about being in crisis mode and said, Outlook has crashed.
I mean, it shouldn't happen, but it does. That's the bottom line. Right. So, like they do in the news department, through this, we'll indicate that you can be found at syrclcircle.org or the more pronounceable and spellable yubariver.org. And what number are you there at the office?
It's 530-265-5961, and I'm on extension 209.
Or they can ask for Katie.
Yes.
And we'll give that out at the end of this so that people can approach you about it. So you would like some computer equipment, ideally that's not more than about 4 years old.
Right.
Are Macs acceptable?
Right now I would...
A brand new one, I
suppose. A brand new Mac would be just fine.
Any brand new equipment.
Right.
And people can write this off because you'll give them a form saying you donated the stuff.
Yes, yes.
So actually, this is a really good time to do it because... No, it's not a really good time. Tax is coming up, but 2005 is passed. It's a good time anyway because it's Circle.
Right. And one other need that I'd like to put out there, we are basically just networked together. We have no server. At some point, I'd love to get a server in there. And one of my big needs is coming up with a robust backup system. Right now, we've been very lucky. But so looking to put together some kind of a reliable backup system.
So it's not a donation of a server that you necessarily need, nice though it would be. It would be the donation of equipment that would be suitable for server, right?
That would be lovely.
All right. Especially if somebody's got a tape drive, and as demands get higher and higher, tape drives get bigger and bigger. But something about 10 to 20 gigabytes of storage on a tape would be nice.
So that would be lovely.
See, on the one hand, beggars can't be choosers, but both KVMR and Circle have been afflicted with machinery that is just causes problems.
Right.
Okay. We talked a little bit also before the show, Katie, about something about the website.
We are going to be doing a major overhaul of our website. And at this point, we're kind of looking for people that might be interested in working on that. Part volunteer, part pay, something like that, the next few months.
Is this the content or the design of the... what's the wording? Come on, Paul, you can do it. Is it presentation or content? Is it what it looks like or what's in it?
Both. Uh-huh. We'd like to develop something so that we can easily update it ourselves. So kind of like the front end design for people that don't know how to use design on the web could add content.
Right. So the idea is the look of the site won't change, but then newsletters and events and so forth will come up. I personally think it's a very nice website, but then you've got the problem of actually getting it so that it's showing things that are coming up real soon now.
Right.
It's very nice around the time of the film festival, by the way, and that has its own website, right?
Correct.
And I'm sorry, I forget that one.
www.wildandscenicfilmfest.org.
By the way, can people actually get any of those movies from there? Does it tell people
how
to get
them? Yes, we have a number of the movies in our library, so you can just come into the office and rent them.
Great. So any of our tech heads out there, if you know what a content management system is, that's actually what Katie actually needs, I believe. If anyone's got better ideas, they can call us in with that, but some kind of content management system for the website, somebody willing to put up current events and news and so forth on there. Somebody or bodies or people to come into the office and help them with the configuration of the computers that are in there. And some new computers. That about sum it up?
That does. Okay. Just as long as you brought up the film festival, I'll let you know that Kathy, our River People's Director, it will be accepting calls for entry on April 1st. So if you have any films out there that you'd like to submit, if you go to our main website, or you can go to the film festival website also.
Okay.
Can you repeat the film festival website? Because I just got it wrong.
www.wildandscenicfilmfestival.org.
I forgot the film festival part. There we go. Okay.
Wild and Scenic, it sounds like me on a bad hair day. Just kidding. That's good. I don't know if there's anything else you want to say to our wonderful listeners out there, but we are trying on this show, as we've done with the flea market as well, to put people who have got stuff in touch with people who need stuff. And if you only remember this, yubariver.org, and you only remember some kind of computers and whatnot, please talk to Katie, the office manager at circle.org, South Yuba River Citizens League. One last time, her number there
is 530-265-5961, extension 209.
And they are right here in town on, is it Main Street?
216 Main Street.
216 Main Street.
Yes.
Not that far from where we meet sometimes for lunch, which is Cafe Mecca. So correct. It's right in town. When you're in beautiful Nevada City, drop in and see them. Would that be okay?
That would be lovely.
Excellent. Any final words for our lovely listeners?
Just as I'm in charge of our annual auction, which is coming up on June 3rd, if anyone would like to donate to the auction, I would love to hear from you.
What kind of things, by the way?
Oh, services, restaurants donate, trips. If you have a house that you'd like to let us rent for or donate for a week, we'd love that. We have rafting trips and music and outdoor equipment, massages. House sitting.
Right, I'm game for it. All of those.
And this community is so wonderful and has supported us tremendously over the years. And I'd like to thank the community for your support.
That's great. And of course, having somebody that can update the website on a fairly regular basis would mean that when we sent you to yubariver.org, this stuff would come up in a timely manner. So it is up there now, though, I'm assuming.
Yes, it is.
Great. That's it. yubariver.org. Have lots of fun.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you very much, Glenn. Katie. Yeah.
Let me just remind folks, too, that Circle is a nonprofit organization, so any donations you make, you can get a letter from them indicating a tax write-off for the current value of whatever you happen to donate to them, including your time. So that's always a little bit of a payback for doing something good. You know, hopefully in our heart, we just want to do that good thing.
Right.
But in those cases where people do need some tax write-offs, that's available there as well as here at KVMR. So we thank you all so much for that.
Not bad to have Uncle Sam help. And basically the letter will say such and such equipment was donated. It doesn't have a money value on it. That's up to you, the donator, to go figure with an affidavit.
I was going to see if this caller maybe had something to say to Katie, so why don't we give this a try? I can actually take it over here if you'd like.
Oh, go for it, Glenn.
Okay.
We're automated here, Katie.
Good afternoon, caller. I've sort of usurped you out of our automatic system there. You're live on the air with Zentech. Hi.
Hi. Am I on the air?
You are.
Great. Okay.
Did you have a question for Katie or for the techie guys here at Zentech?
I have a techie question.
Okay. Can you hold on just a second, and we'll finish our goodbye to Katie. Thank you so much for coming
in.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
All right. Nice to see you, Katie.
Okay. Good seeing you guys.
Take care now.
I don't know if we've ever met or not before, but it's nice meeting you finally. I know we've talked on the phone a lot.
Uh-huh.
Okay, thanks, Katie.
Take care.
Okay, caller, what's your name?
Sherry.
Hi, Sherry. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. about you?
Okay. What can we do for you?
Well, I have a more of an access question. It's not specific about software, but I want to get high-speed internet in my home. And
okay.
I'm looking for resources, books, websites, anything that has information about hardwiring inside the house. People have told me that I can run a signal through my electrical outlets and that I can, you know, I can wire USB cable through the house or Ethernet cable.
Ethernet cables.
And
you know what? I'm going to cut you off right there because technology has gone so far that that's not even necessary anymore. With less than an expenditure of less than $100, you can create a wireless network in your home.
I don't want wireless.
Oh, you don't? How come?
Well, my husband doesn't want it, and I think it's security issues and just for lots of reasons, he wants to have it hardwired.
Okay.
And we have computers in two different places, and we don't have to network them together because I just made the leap to a Mac.
Okay. Well, you can go ahead and run wiring. Ethernet cable would be the best. I don't have any experience with the units that use the an electrical outlet in your home and then send the signal through the electrical wiring. Paul had his headset off for a moment. She doesn't want to go wireless for security reasons, so I'm suggesting Ethernet cable and probably not the electrical wiring.
Well, the bottom line is, caller, if you're after security, which is all we're any of us after, then none of these techniques are secure. Even Ethernet hardwire cable radiates some signals, and it can be picked up. I mean, if somebody's really determined to do it, it's a matter of degree. Running the signal through your house creates an issue because although it's supposed to distribute it this side of your PG&E power panel, some of the signal, it does actually leak out and can be got elsewhere. So if you're really concerned about security, the best thing is turn your computer off and go home. that's unfortunately true.
And cost-wise, we'd still, you know, I'd really urge you to relook at wireless. Maybe two or three or four years ago, it wasn't as easy to secure a wireless system, but today it is fairly easy.
Well, we tried to set one up two or three, 4 years ago, and it was very difficult, and it didn't ever work.
And that has changed a lot with the newer equipment. It's much more user-friendly and pretty much plug and play. Not always, but pretty much.
And the issue also now is, caller, that the first level of wireless security, we've addressed this before on the show, is known as WEP. Never mind the acronyms, but it's the first line secure wireless communications, and it really isn't that secure. You have to try to use WPA. So when you're setting the thing up, it gives you various options.
Uh-huh.
Avoid, don't use none or nothing, which is what the box comes shipped with. Avoid WEP, or if there's nothing else you can do, pick that, which is your first line defense. The second
one,
WEP, Wired Equivalency Privacy, which means it's supposed to be at least as secure as Ethernet cable, which it isn't. And the second one is WPA. So any equipment you buy that's made in the last couple of years will have WPA.
Are you talking about the modem that comes to my house that I just ordered?
No, we're talking about the wireless portion to distribute that around your house.
Oh, okay. That I go buy for less than $100 or around $100.
Right. And in your case, if you've already ordered SBC, is that what you've done?
No, we don't get SBC, so we got broadband through Comcast.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I missed that part. Right, so actually almost any wireless unit will do the trick. Most of them manufactured now. It does have to be fairly new.
Uh-huh.
And when you configure it with a little wizard, it'll say what kind of security do you want, and you ideally pick WPA. If nothing else makes sense, pick WPA, and it'll ask you for a passphrase like Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Uh-huh.
And that's your security. I would say that is actually probably more secure than wired networking, where your signal can leak out, and it's certainly more secure than running it through the house wiring.
Okay. Now, what about if you're wireless? What about if you're working on two different levels in the house? If you had a two-story house?
Shouldn't be.
Most of it goes through the floor. Some of the wireless routers being made now, there's a variety of different names for them. I know them as MIMO, M-I-M-O.
Uh-huh.
And these are a type of wireless router or transmitter that's got not one, but three antennas sticking out of it. And they have improved range.
And then you put now, are you talking about two desktop computers in the home or laptops?
Yeah. No, desktop.
Okay.
And we have a laptop too, but we have two desktops and one's on each level.
Okay. And then what you'd need to do then would get the corresponding, in most cases, PCI card. It would be installed inside the computer to match that wireless router. And right now, down at Fry's, you can get a MIMO AirLink wireless router on sale for $30, and their corresponding PCI cards for the two desktops at about $20 a piece. So we're at, $70 there. And then for about $20 to $25, you could actually get a plug-in card for your laptop also, what's called a PC card, And if the laptop's not already wireless, most
the
laptops,
laptop is brand new and it already comes with it'll pick up a signal in the neighborhood, I guess.
Okay.
Oh wow! And you probably one solution is that you might find unsecured networks that belong to other people. Well, don't be tempted. I guess that's probably what got you. If these things you're able to connect to, what will happen to yours? Well, if yours is set up right, then it won't happen.
Yeah, they will see your wireless network, but they will not be able to connect to it.
Yeah. Okay.
There's the answer. In our opinion, wireless is okay if you do it right with this so-called WPA. There's a caveat again about WPA. When you put in your passphrase, Mary had a little lamb, if you then go onto your laptop and try to connect to your wireless transmitter and you type in what you think is Mary had a little lamb and you get one letter wrong, it will appear to connect, but it won't go anywhere, which is very frustrating.
Because it doesn't. It looks like it worked, but it didn't because you may have made a mistake.
So you have to get the passphrase. It's not a password. It's a whole phrase, which makes it even harder to break into. Spaces,
oh, I see.
Capitalizations, everything. If you don't get it exactly right, this is your security. If one letter is lowercase when it should be uppercase, it'll go connected, and it will go nowhere.
And bear in mind,
I had a little lamp.
Or use something else.
Yeah, use something else. But bear in mind also that with a passphrase, you can put spaces. With most passwords, they do not accept spaces.
Right.
It has to be a string of characters, either upper, lowercase, numerical, whatever.
Sure, but if you put two spaces in, that's not the same as the one space you filled in on the transmitter. So if it's verbatim, it's got to be the same.
Is this show archived?
Yes.
Great.
We can
write this down.
If you call in the station after the show or write to us at zen@kvmr.org, we do record the show and we can make that available to you. And Paul is actually going to be doing some work possibly with this show about getting us up on a podcast.
Yeah, you don't need to know what a podcast is because this show is going to demonstrate it, we hope. And the idea is KVMR has archived news shows and the flea market and other things. So you can click them on a website. Now, if you've got broadband, when you do this, it should come down very easily. Please go to zen.kvmar.org, but it may be a day or two before we do it. And we'll have a link up there that says... Beg pardon?
Does this mean I have to go buy an iPod, too?
No, it doesn't. No.
Okay, good.
It's just a term that happened to borrow, the pod from the iPod
thing.
Got it. Well, thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate
it. Thank you so much. That was zen@kvmr.org?
That's us.
That's our email address, or zen.kvmr.org for the website.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thanks for your call. Yeah, we'll be out of date, that site, but in the next couple of days, we hope to put the podcast up there, and we have another caller coming in.
We do.
Good afternoon, caller. Whoops, I hit next.
Whoops, we lost him.
Oh, shoot, I dropped the caller. I'm so sorry, caller. Do please call back again.
Did you push next? Or did you push
I think I
else?
Missed and pushed reset. Oh, I just dropped the caller. I'm so sorry. That gives us more time to chew the fat and gas, but do please call right back.
Yes, I'm sorry. You were on hold for so long there, but you know what? We don't have any other callers in, so you'll
killed
come
it
right
off. It's
in.
Gone really quiet.
Again, 265-9555, 1-800-355-5867. And even though this is a show about technology, we are not always. We still have fingers and all sorts. So I'm going to take this one live rather than going
I should have left it to Glenn.
And letting it go on the system. Yeah, because I've got it sitting right here. Now, although you say you should have left it to me. Here we go. Air. Hi, caller. You're live on the air. Welcome to the show. Were you the one that was on hold for so long there?
Yes.
I'm sorry, but we got you now.
No problem. No, that topic was very closely related to my question, and you answered a lot of the questions. I just got satellite internet hooked up to my house.
Uh-huh.
And I want to do a wireless system.
Okay.
And so you were talking about that, but I just wanted to find out how difficult it is, because I talked to somebody about having it installed, and they were going to charge me like $100 an hour to do the work, but if it's something that I think you mentioned, it's basically a plug-and-play kind of a deal?
You know, two or three years ago, $100 an hour would have been a reasonable fee to pay to have somebody install this. You still may need somebody to install it for you in today's day and age. And $100 an hour is not an unreasonable fee. However, somebody shouldn't need more than an hour to do it.
Mm-hmm.
However, I would recommend give it a try yourself. Ideally, do you have a laptop or a desktop?
We have three desktops, so one's directly wired to the satellite, and then the other two will be, wireless. So.
Okay, well, most likely what will happen, how many outs do you have on your satellite? One out or multiple outs?
On the
satellite modem.
I'm not sure, actually.
Because I think it's typically one.
Yeah, typically that's going to go into your router, and then your three computers will be. Well, actually, the one next to it could be wired. I shouldn't have said that, because the router it'll be wireless, and it'll have usually four available wired ports where you can just go right from the router into that computer close by.
I'll have to look at that.
If you look online, outpost.com is Fry's.
The actual equipment is not that expensive.
No.
If it's DSL or cable, it's not too bad. What happens with satellite, because it's done in a special way, is you can end up with tricks that require the setting of the proxy server. Have you talked to the support for the satellite company yet about the proxy server?
No.
If you just use that router the way it's intended and follow the instructions and even call up the company that made the wireless router and plug it in, they will help you get it set right. But there are some additional tricks which are required with satellite to get the absolute optimum performance out of it. Mm-hmm. Because anyone that's got satellite, anyone, whether it's Starband, Directway, or the third one that's just appeared,
Wild Blue.
Yeah. That's what I have.
Oh, you have that. Okay. Mm-hmm. We'll have some kind of proxy server that you have to put in the machines, whether or not they're connected through mm-hmm. that router thingy.
Okay.
And the second thing is you can't afford to let the wireless router do what they call firewalling or NAT. You have to turn all that off. So mm-hmm. there's a special set of things that you have to do. If you just plug it in and do the normal things and follow the wizard and do those steps, it'll work, but not optimally.
And you know what? We would love a report back if you do this and work with Wild Blue, because we know that they're offering a good satellite service and people have been more recently signing up with them. Let us know how their customer support is on something like this.
Okay, yeah.
And so I'd recommend, you know, give it a try yourself, you know, buying the components and working with Wild Blue. And then if you have some difficulty, then go ahead and pay somebody to come on in.
Okay.
The two clues to bear in mind is when you get the wireless router, try to make it work so that it's not doing NAT and it's not doing routing. In other words, you have to turn off what all these things have got, which is the routing functions.
Mm-hmm.
And that you can talk to the company that made whichever wireless router it was. They've all got an 800 number.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing to do is when you've done the job is to talk to Wild Blue and ask them how to configure the proxy server.
Okay.
And I don't know how long it will take. I mean, sometimes I like that things cost a lot, because now when I don't do it, I save even more.
Right.
So, as long as you're willing to do it. Some people are willing to do the work. Others are like, just make it work.
Mm-hmm. And the opinions you hear on this show are those of the person speaking them, not necessarily those of KVMR, its listeners, staff, board, underwriters, or other broadcasters. Did I cover everybody? Or employees? What I was going to say is I've also discovered in working with wireless over the past few months, one company in particular I wasn't real happy with, and that was Netgear. Their equipment is a little bit difficult to work with. Their customer support is only free to you for the first 60 days after you bought the equipment, where companies like D-Link, AirLink, what's another one?
It's indefinite support, more
yeah,
or less.
Yeah, typically indefinite support. As long as you have trouble, they've got a 24/7 800 number that you can call. I can't think of the other major name.
And basically, Glenn, I should point out now, I have no problem talking to India as long as I can understand them. In most cases, I can.
And as long as they're helpful. Yeah. Unfortunately, when we do go overseas for customer support, very often they're reading from a script. They don't know what we're talking about. They're listening to the keywords that we're speaking and then looking on the computer how to reply to that. So, again, it never really hurts to ask for second level or even third tier customer support if you're having difficulty with that first level, whether you're in the United States or outside of the country.
How's that, caller?
Okay, well, thanks.
Thanks very much for your call.
All right, bye.
Thank you.
There is an issue, which is that satellite is not the prevailing kind of broadband. It's not what most people have got. So in some cases, if you get on the phone, or the blower, as they call it in England, you get on the blower or the phone, and you speak to the company that made your wireless router, and you say, hey, I've got satellite, they won't recognize what it takes to do that.
Okay.
You want to use your... Glenn's actually using his laptop to do our stuff now. Is it working?
You know, they just disconnected. I was going to push next, and I heard a little click, and they went away. So whoever that was on hold, please do give us a call back. This isn't like the flea market where we're just zoom, 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 zoom. It's a little bit tricky going here for a while. I'm using my computer a little bit more often than yours. How about if I plug my power supply into yours so it'll stay active rather than...
And since
I'll be using mine, it'll stay active. And that reminds me, after the show, Paul, my Palm Pilot, I had to reset it the other day, and on this new one, it's the Tungsten T5. In resetting it, it remembered everything.
Mm-hmm.
And what it remembered everything. However, when it came back on and working again, the screen is like a little dimmer than I like it. And I can't figure out where to go make the screen always a little brighter.
On the Palm Pilot, there's a tiny, tiny little dot right in the area where you write. There's a little thing that looks like a half moon.
Okay.
And if you touch that.
Let's hope these things are
that's
pretty.
That's hit the floor now. Let's see how good that is. This is live testing and QA for Palm Pilots. That hit the deck from about 3 feet up.
There's a working? Tiny little dot.
Let's have a look at that. You got it on mine as well?
Where is it? Down below?
Let's see. And also, you've got to make absolutely sure. Darn, I can't see it. My poor aging eyesight. Somewhere on there, it looks like a half moon on some models of these things, and then you get a slider which enables you to increase the brightness and contrast on there.
Oh, okay. I don't think I've got that. I have home, search. I don't know what that one is. That one says copy or paste. No.
We'll have a look back in a moment, and if you wrecked it by hitting the floor, I found a wonderful website that sells you replacement motherboards for Palm Pilots.
Ah, okay.
A friend of mine actually was willing to get the little screwdriver, take the thing apart, and replace the motherboard by visiting a website, palmmedic.com. That's two M's in there. Palmmedic.com.
I suspect they probably have replacement batteries also.
Yes, and usually the batteries in these Palm Pilots are non-consumer replaceable. What it means is you're voiding the warranty. Well, big deal, because the battery's gone if it's outside warranty. You may need a thing called a T20 screwdriver to get the back off,
okay,
which I've had to use to repair my Motorola cell phone. And then you're on your own. I mean, if the thing's busted, not working, no harm.
It does have those little Torx instead of a Phillips screw.
Yeah, it does.
That.
It doesn't intend mortals to get in there, a bit like the old Mac. So that's just a T something else. But
we've got three calls lined up.
Oh, sorry.
Let's go ahead with this first caller.
Palmmedic.
You're live on the air. Thanks for holding.
Good afternoon, Glenn and Paul.
Did you hear the beep so that you knew you were on the air?
I did.
Oh, good.
Excellent.
Was it a beep or a screech?
Squelch.
Okay, we're going to ask our next caller, too. Maybe it's working.
Cool.
Hi.
Hi. You're speaking with Ann, and I'm a Mac user, and I have two questions, both regarding mail.
Okay.
I'm on 10.2, which is, I think it's called Panther, and the mail
mm-hmm.
program.
Mm-hmm.
It's just called Mail, M-A-I-L, and right now there has an email that is selected that causes the machine to go into the pinwheel thinking mode indefinitely.
For that particular email?
Right, but I cannot do anything. I cannot delete it. I cannot force quit that mail program. It's totally stuck on that email.
Are you on dial-up?
Yep.
Okay, then it's a giant mail stuck in the mailbox. Who is your email provider? Like, what's your email, the right-hand side of your email address? At Earthlink or
yes,
what?
C-Zone.
C-Zone,
C-Z-O. And I actually did call them up, and they said the problem was on my side, that they had done what they could
to
eliminate it, you know, off my squirrel mail. And
That's it.
That's the correct answer. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, do they offer web mail online?
Squirrel mail, yeah.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah, no, I went out there, and yes, it is deleted from that, but it is already downloaded in my machine.
Now, let me ask you this. If you just turn your machine off and then start it up and you go into your mail...
It still comes up with the same one selected.
That comes up first. You can't
go
and say delete.
Right.
Here's the question. Can you ever get this? Is this a laptop or a
laptop.
Has it got wireless? Maybe
how,
not.
How old is it?
It's 5 years old.
Okay.
Probably not.
So I'm trying to find some way to get you on a high-speed connection because... Well, have you got it on in front of you right now?
What have I got on in front of me?
Yes.
Do you have the laptop in front of you?
Yeah, I can have the laptop. It's in front of me.
Okay, go up to the little Apple logo.
Yeah.
And click on where it says about this Mac.
Uh-huh. Got it.
I'm guessing what's happened is that you've got some software older than 10.2.9.
It's 10.2.8, yeah.
That's actually not too bad. I was hoping it was so out of date that an update would have fixed it.
Yeah.
The Apple Mail program is actually very good.
Yeah, I do like it.
Yeah, and you're used to it, so there's no good reason to change that. And you can't get off that message, is that what's happening?
Nope, cannot.
Can you see which message it is?
Oh, yes, it's something with a bunch of symbols under who it's from, symbols rather than letters, and the topic is in Asian writing.
Oh, so it's basically junk mail from somewhere in Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
I've seen them, and it's been a couple of years. And I'm surprised that going to your server and asking them to delete it didn't
I think it's
help.
Already down on this machine.
Yeah.
Right, it's already down on the machine. They've deleted it from the squirrel mail.
Oh, right. Try, in spite of the fact you've got the little spinning logo there, I guess it won't even let you try to delete it.
Can't.
All you can do is force quit, and you're still stuck.
And I can't even force quit when that spinning wheel is going. I have to, hold the power key down for 5 seconds.
Oh, nasty. Actually, so what is it? Control, option, escape, or whatever it is, kills the program.
Yeah, it does not work. Mm-mm.
Oh, boy, that is really bad. Okay, here's the next thing you need to do. I'm suspecting that there is a permission problem. I don't know if your version of OS 10 will do this, 10.2.
Mm-hmm.
I think only newer ones do it. Try this anyway, please, and that is don't start the mail program. Mm-hmm. Do go to applications. Go underneath utilities.
Under applications, okay. You got a word under applications. Where do I find that?
Okay, you need to open up Macintosh hard drive.
Okay, open up the hard drive. Gotcha.
Yep, and then on the left it says applications.
Okay, gotcha.
And alphabetically, utilities is fairly late down the table.
Okay, hang on. It's working on that.
We're doing this live on the air. This is great. When you hear bang, oh, no, then that's it.
Okay, we're doing this. We're down to utilities. Should be, yep, got it.
Yep, and okay. Somewhere in there is a thing that says disk utilities or disk permissions or something about disk or check disk.
It should be under disk. Okay, disk copy disk utility.
Not copy disk utility, no. Keep going. It's something like, I don't have a Mac to check this as we're speaking.
Well,
it's
I
a
think
disk
said,
repair.
I think you said disk copy and then disk
then
utility.
And there's also another one called disk utility.
That's the guy, yep. Go right ahead with that one. I'm glad it's in there.
Okay, that is clicked.
Right, now at this point, I will state the standard disclaimer, which is if this thing goes up in smoke, it ain't us and it's not my soul you just bought because you don't want it.
That's fine.
All right,
before we do that,
yeah.
One other question is off topic, but yeah. I do need to know how to print out my email addresses so I could actually re-put them in if it...
Oh, the odds... Well, if the program won't let you in, you're dead in the water anyway.
Right,
well, no, I can get into the address book, no problem.
Oh, you can. It's just when you get into the mail.
Yeah.
In that case, I'm not honestly sure.
Okay.
But if you get them up on the screen, that's stage one. And I'm presuming if you get into the address book, there's a file print option in there. I don't know the answer to that one, though.
Okay. So anyway, disk utility is open.
Right. And on the bottom left is a thing that says find and fix permissions, I think. There's one that says check permissions, the other one that says fix permissions. Do you see that?
I see information, first aid, erase. Partition and RAID.
No, none of those. I may have sent you the wrong place, and it varies. Somebody out there is a Mac user that knows how to do this, and it's specifically an item that checks and fixes disk permissions.
Disk permissions is
that's
what I'm looking
or,
at.
Yeah.
Probably what we should do is if you can email us,
yes,
and if
I
we get
that.
Some answers, some help, or when Paul's in front of a Mac, he can more quickly direct you in this direction.
I'll do that.
We can probably. Are you going to be hanging around, Paul, for a little while today?
I think so.
Okay.
Well, I always hang around. It's just where.
But, Anne, how about if we handle that off the air with you?
That'd be great. And
the first thing would be give us a call maybe 10 or 15 minutes
okay,
after 2
that's
o'clock.
zen@kvmr.org.
That's
yes.
us.
Okay.
And then today, give us a call about 10 or 15 minutes after 2 o'clock here
okay,
in the office at 260-265-9073.
9073. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank
Thanks
you.
For your call.
And we'll go with our next caller. Yeah, I've got it over here. Paul wants to push the buttons, and I'm
Don't
on the computer.
Push them.
We're all technology. Caller, did you hear a little before you came on the air with us?
Is this me?
Yeah, is it you? Did you hear a little screech?
No.
Oh.
You guys were laughing, so it may have been there while you were doing that.
We may have covered it up with our laugh. I'm sorry. Okay. Who is this?
This is Mark.
Hi, Mark. How are you today?
I'm doing okay. I'm trying to make a slideshow for a memorial, I have this the song that I want on iTunes. Well, I've tried two different slideshow programs, and it doesn't recognize that there's even a file there. Get this song, you know, as the background music for the slideshow.
Yeah, have you found the original MP3? I mean, the music that you want.
I bought it off of iTunes.
Have you found it on your computer?
I heard they have like a MP4 format or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, here's what we're up against, and that is that you have, from iTunes, bought what they call a proprietary sound file, which is, I think, AAC.
Beautiful.
What it means is that I'm not sure this is true, but I believe having bought it, it will only play back inside iTunes.
That's nice.
Well, here's what you need to do. There's a way around, and there may be easier ways. You need to burn it to a disc.
Okay.
It will permit you to create an audio CD disc by burning it to disc, right? Have you done that before?
Yeah.
Okay, then what you need to do, I know it sounds crazy, then you need to get the disc, put it back in the machine,
mm-hmm.
and do what they call ripping the sound file, getting the sound file back off the disc, and
okay.
then you can play it back in anything.
And
okay.
rip it to an MP3.
So if your right. slideshow software, what is it, like PowerPoint or something?
I think it's a Creative Roxio Media.
Oh, I know what you mean, yeah. I think that should be able to use MP3s, but you cannot use the AA or the AAC files or whatever it is that Apple does because it will only operate inside iTunes unless you burn it and then scratch it back off the rip it back off the disc.
Oh, well, that's not a problem. I can do that.
All righty, that's the reason.
All right, thank you.
Okay, oh, you're welcome.
Good luck with that, Mark. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye
Thanks.
Now. And we'll go to our next caller. You're live on the air. Hi.
Hi.
Did you get your little screech?
I did not.
Oh, okay. What's your name?
Scott.
Hi, Scott.
It's line four, okay.
Yeah.
I had a couple of questions. One on the radio network you've been talking about.
Mm-hmm. The wireless network.
Yeah. Have you read any reports regarding health concerns similar to those that people have with cell phones?
Sorry, Glenn, have you got...
No, I haven't heard anything, and I'm going to be a bit of a butt here and just say I think that's all poppycock and hogwash. I haven't seen a report where they've proven that anybody's been harmed by using a cell phone or a wireless phone. We have so much wireless stuff going on all around us. We even have microwaves that are being transmitted, you know, apparently not the frequency that come out of our microwave ovens that could fry us if that were that.
I'll tell you
frequency.
What, caller, I mean, if you're concerned about cell phones, that may not be inappropriate, because in the worst case, when you stick a cell phone next to your ear, if you're in a weak signal area, you can get up to 2 watts of microwave energy going into your head. But the stuff you've got going around your house is limited by law to 200 milliwatts. And it's typically much less than that, which is, if we do the math, 10 to 100 times less than what goes out with a cell phone. So if you don't mind being around cell phones, you shouldn't mind being around wireless networks. Having said that, I don't personally think cell phones are a problem. However, I use a headset.
Okay. But we've both held the phone up to our ears before. I use a headset most often, and if I upgrade my phone to a new Bluetooth unit, I'll certainly be using that all the time. But then again, who's to say that the Bluetooth isn't going to, you know, pierce our brains with something?
It's gigahertz stuff. It's high-frequency stuff near your head, and it's not something humans have been around that much. So the jury's still out. But what scientists will say, which you've got to bear in mind, is it takes millions of experiments to prove something's safe, but only a few to prove it's dangerous. But they've got to be the right type of experiment.
Well, that's good information. I've heard the 1 or 2 watts when there's a weak signal on the cell phone, and
right.
To know that it's so much less with the radio network is good. I'm glad
right.
You knew that. The other thing, I was looking at our local congressman's website the other day, and he has a it's called One Stop Shopping Legislation. It's an interesting title, but they review the recent legislation that's being heard in the House, and there was a bill regarding FCC regulations that had to do with the use of mass mailings by nonprofit organizations and prohibiting that in some regards and making it necessary that people apply for exemptions to taxes to go ahead and use that.
Is this related to the CAN-SPAM Act?
I think so.
Yeah, there's been different efforts to moderate the process of junk mailing. Or I shouldn't say that. There's been different legal efforts made to legitimize some types of bulk mailing and not others. In the same way as if you go to donotcall.gov, you can take yourself off unsolicited calls for your telephone. However, nonprofits and surveyors who are not doing it for money are still allowed to call you. There's an attempt to do it with email, but I'm afraid it will never, ever work. I mean, the idea is noble, but it can't work.
The logistics would be impossible to create, I think, is the reason why it would never work. Right, Paul?
Right, and for a while there was a law by Murkowski of Alaska, I think it was, or I forget what. There's a thing called the Murkowski provision, which never made it into law. And the intention behind that was if people sent out email that said who it was from and gave their street address and got people to unsubscribe, that therefore it would be okay. But of course, if the phone number never works and the address isn't there and the unsubscribe doesn't function, the person that sent the mail will go, well, I did my best, I made my best efforts, but there's just so much stuff. So I'm afraid, caller, nice idea, but this stuff will never work. It'd be great for nonprofits to be able to reach targeted peoples and do what you're probably thinking about, but the lights really go dim in my head and I'm going, this isn't going to happen, I'm afraid.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah,
okay,
right.
Thank you for
just my opinion.
Right.
Okay, let's go to our next caller. You're live on the air, caller. And let me ask you, did you hear a little screech just before I answered your call there?
Is it me?
Yes.
No, I didn't.
Okay, what's your name?
Betsy.
Hi, Betsy. How are you today?
I'm good. Hey, I was just calling with a possible solution for that woman on the Mac with the bad email.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes what I've done in the past, if I've gotten one stuck, is choose another email first that you know you want to delete, and then hold the control key down, and then choose that one so that it's second in line, and then you can hit the delete. Because if you just click on it first, it's going to open the email in the window.
So you're trying to delete it without actually having it come up in a view.
Right.
Aha.
Good
right.
trick, yeah.
Good trick. So in other words, it's whatever you can do that prevents the message itself being attempted for a display.
Right.
I guess it's the foreign language characters that are throwing the poor Mac.
I don't know, but...
So please repeat that, because I'm...
Okay.
Yeah.
So you have email A that's corrupt,
mm-hmm.
that's causing her problems. Okay, and then you have email B in your inbox
mm-hmm.
that is something that maybe you've already read and mm-hmm. you can delete. So choose email B first,
mm-hmm.
and then hold down the control key. Command key.
The command key, okay.
And then click on email A, which is the problem one.
And at which point it won't display it because you're
right.
doing multiple selection. Aha.
Right, okay. You're in multiple selection. And then hit the delete key. And then empty your trash right away.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. So then you would have to go into trash and, you know, select all is the easiest thing to do. Right, Command A.
Right.
Because you don't want to click on it.
Right.
You could go through the same process.
You don't want to see it again, right.
Right, right. So just select all and then delete out of your trash, too.
Now, we're talking about the mail program's trash,
yeah.
not the Apple's trash.
The mail program's trash, exactly.
That's great. Thanks so much for doing that.
Hopefully that would work, but I have done that before.
Well, caller, if the first person that had
That's
the problem,
Anne.
If Anne succeeded,
Anne.
She will be able to send us an email going, it worked. And if we don't get an email, it means it didn't
work. Right, if she's listening still.
All right, thanks so much.
Thank you,
okay.
Betsy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. And let's go with our next caller. You're live on the air. Hi, did you hear a little screech before we answered, or as we were answering?
If it's me, no.
No? Okay, what's your name?
Tony.
Hi, Tony. How are you today?
Good, Glenn and Paul. How are you guys?
Good.
I'm considering about upgrading my system, and I'm concerned about compatibility between Office XP or Windows XP and Office and the media, Windows Media. I want to run the TV through my computer, if possible. And apparently there's a Windows Media operating system. That
Windows XP Media Edition, I think. Is.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I believe that's what it's called, but I'm not positive about that. And do you have to have that, Paul, in order to watch TV through your computer?
If you want to do that, if you would like to connect your cable TV up, say, or your antenna or whatever it is you've got, and be able to watch it on your on your computer, most of the hardware cards that you get, such as the Hopagi card, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, these television capture cards, have software that will allow you to show the thing full screen or in boxes and windows or capture it or record it. You don't need Windows Media Edition. If you do have that, then you have Windows Media Player that's able to operate the TV tuner.
Okay, so the hardware that will have the software with it.
In most cases, yes.
Are you after recording this stuff?
No. Well, it'd be nice to, you know, cut a DVD, but...
The way to do that is, and I think Glenn encountered this, there's now some systems where you plug the cable in and you go into the software and it says, you know, which channel and so on and so forth. And it will actually compress into MPEG-2 on the card. So the card that you plug into the machine can actually squash the video signal and save the squashed signal onto the hard drive. If it doesn't have MPEG-2 compression on board, you might as well forget trying to actually capture the TV shows.
It's just too bulky
too much data
for
and
the
too
computer
fast.
For the computer to handle it so quickly.
I have no particular recommendations. If anyone out there knows a good TV capture card, what was
it? I used Hopog, and I think the other one was AirLink, and I preferred the Hopog. It worked a little bit better. I'm not using either now because I went out and got a TiVo unit. So
that's one way. Don't do this. Get a TiVo.
Now I want to figure out how to use my TiVo unit and be able to download off of its hard drive because, of course, it only holds 80 hours. And how many hours of programming have I already saved? 80.
You do watch TV.
Because I'm hardly ever home, I don't clear the thing off. And if I want to get stuff off the thing, I have to do it live. It says, you want to save this to VCR? And so you have to do it live. So an hour show takes an hour. So I'm just trying to figure out how to get the bulk download stuff off the TiVo into my computer. So I'm working on that. So maybe we'll have a show on that one day.
Yeah.
So, anything else, caller?
That should do it.
Okay.
Sure, thanks
so
for
much
your
for
help.
Calling.
Okay.
Bye-bye now. We're going to go to our next caller who's live on the air with Zentech.
Start rate.
Hi.
What that basically means to you as a borrower on a $250,000 loan. you're looking at a payment of about $804.
That's very peculiar. That's
and on a $500,000 loan.
I'm not sure what that was. I think they may have been holding for us and talking to someone else at the same time and not realized we were there. However, we have this caller now who's live on the air. Did you hear the little screech?
Would that be me?
That would be you.
I didn't hear a little screech. I did hear that ad coming through, though. I don't know what that was.
Yeah, me neither. I have no idea.
Now, so, I'm calling because I got a hijack problem on my Windows XP machine.
Oh.
It seems like, you know, as soon as I hook up to the internet, I've got a nice, I'm on a dial-up, you know, 28.8, 31.4, something like that. And now, for the first minute or so, you know, I can download my email, and things go good, and then it bogs way down, and something's sending off information like crazy.
Okay, better have an up-to-date virus scanner, first line of defense.
I have that. I got hijacked this. I ran that. I've got Adware SE. I ran that. I ran Spybot Search and Destroy and SpywareSweeper.com. I went to that.
Does it?
I got rid of everything I could find, and the problem still exists.
Does that mean it goes away and then it comes back?
Doesn't seem to, no.
So Spybot finds stuff or not?
Yeah, I do find stuff on there regularly.
And then you tell it to clean this?
Yeah.
And then it cleans it? And then you restart the machine, and then it comes back.
Right.
Same stuff or different stuff?
You know, I haven't been able to really make heads or tails of whether it's the same or different. I got rid of a whole bunch of just cookies, you know, tracking cookies and
such. There's no harm in them. My feeling is that what's happening is you've got a program in there known as a reloader or a hider.
Right.
Meaning that there's this hidden process that makes sure if stuff gets removed that it gets put back, which is why I asked you if it was the same stuff coming back or not.
Yeah. Well, it's acting the same. I just haven't been able to trace down exactly what it is that's doing this. So.
And when you do an Alt-Control-Delete, looking in the running processes there, you don't see anything unusual?
No, not so far.
Okay. And Paul just pointed out to me, I'm not facing the clock. We're just about up here with the show. We've got a couple of minutes left, so we do have to go.
Email us.
Yes, zen@kvmr.org. We have another caller on the line that we're not going to be able to take your call. I apologize. However, I know I'll be around for a couple of hours here in the office this afternoon, so please do call us in the office. And caller, I want to thank you very much. Actually, we don't have another caller. It's just you. This screen's confusing me. So thank you very much for calling in.
Give me your email again, if you would.
zen@kvmr.org.
kvmr.org. All right, I'll email off to what is happening. Maybe you can help me track it down.
We'll
thanks
try
a lot.
All right, thanks for your call.
Bye-bye now.
2 minutes to 2 o'clock, and the next one up is Jimmy Carter's Rock and Roll Party, and he goes mad for a couple hours. We're about done. The website, hopefully, will have a podcast to demonstrate this show as a first for KVMR, I believe, and that will be at zen.kvmr.org, and we'd like to thank our underwriter for the last hour of programming,
and
who did it in part.
Along with all of you, Almsoft Technologies, providing Sacramento and the foothills with local internet solutions for home and office, including DSL, dial-up access, domain name registration, secure transaction services, and technical support. 530-758-1019 or omsoft.com. Omsoft, the enlightened internet solution. KVMR FM, Nevada City. We'll see you next time, folks. Bye-bye.
It's been fun. Couple of weeks. See you then. Bye for now.